In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In these days of preparation for Christmas and over the Advent season, I've had to learn a new skill on my computer with dictation. I broke my wrist a few weeks back playing pickleball. With lack of precision between spelling translation, the meaning can be quickly derailed. For example, reviewing the collect as we read it this evening, it quoted me as saying, "We receive him as our Redeemer with sugar confidence. Behold him who lives and reigns, R-A-I-N-S, with us." Well, as I was laughing all the way, I stopped to think about these errantly dictated words. So imagine Jesus coming with sugar confidence. Sugar is sweet, and so is our Lord. So I thought, this is great. His sweet inbreaking into the world brings sweetness of peace and calm with faith. I really enjoyed this humor as I was going along. Jesus also reigns upon us. Even if some of us pray for snow this Christmas morning, imagine we sense him as a gentle rain falling on our bodies, gentle drops of refreshment continually upon us. Metaphorically, this is true. But how aware are we that we are in his presence continually and offered this continual refreshment? Wordplay aside, our gospel text for Christmas Eve reminds us again of the wonder and surprising nature of God's incarnation. The preparation for God's coming into the world in Christ happens in the very normal daily moments of life. Joseph traveled to Bethlehem for a census registration. It surely was no vacation. He had to obey the rules of the day, even if God's plans were beginning to unfold a whole different kingdom than what he was trying to live up to by the rules. It's helpful to think about how God's work unfolds in the very midst of life. Both Mary and Joseph have to undertake this in the midst of very profound challenges in their life and in the events around them. They go to particular places that are required of them, and it is in this particularity where God unfolded the birth of Jesus. They needed to secure shelter to give birth to their child, but there wasn't any room. It certainly wasn't perfect. It wasn't comfortable, it wasn't sanitary or convenient or hygienic, nor available with provisions of our modern day medical care. Even as politics and economics and other forces try to name and number events of the entire world, God will establish a counter-politic that will place kingly rule not in the imperial palace, but in a manger whose outcome is not going to be conquest. It's going to be a cross. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, "For a child has been born to us, a son has been given to us, and authority rests upon his shoulders. His name is Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Centuries before Christ's birth, Isaiah had foreseen the coming of this Messiah as the establishment of God's reign on earth. And this event will summon all people into God's kingdom and make them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. So what do prophets really do? Well, what they do, if we read the Old Testament and we're faithful in our reading, is that they train us in discerning the difference between the ways of the world as we encounter it and the ways of the gospel that keep us present to the very presence of God in our lives. They contend that everything, absolutely everything that takes place on sacred ground. God has something to say about every single aspect of our lives. Into the darkness of life, both personal and societal, the light of Christ breaks in among us. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And light is used as a metaphor which suggests the presence of God and the approaching of God's grace, mercy, and peace. While great indeed for those who'd seen and welcomed it, it was not great at its coming, but very, very modest. But know, my friends, that the light of Christ is not a blinding light. It's now often a gentle, modest light that Christ brings, so as not to overwhelm or coerce, because he gives us free choice whether we welcome him into our lives or not. But what's important is not to lose the scandal of God's incarnation as an infant. Yes, it was scandalous and outside of town to a yet-to-be married couple. These are the model outsiders. And what churches today perhaps would turn this pair away if they came knocking at our church doors? Some in our congregation may feel that there's no room for them in the places where they were born either. Some can feel as if they're relegated outsiders, a status that they have to enter by the back door or sleep out on the street. And how many of us have been shut out of the inn, and what did that feel like? I know that feeling in my very own life for a short period of time that was quite unsettling. But even if things don't go as planned, new life does break forth. Jesus, God's work, arrived in the midst of political events that were crazy and there were no vacancies. The important message of Christmas is that even when things don't go as planned, God arrives. And we are reminded that God appears to the less than perfect and the less than powerful. Too often people think that God's not going to speak to them because they don't go to church, or because they're so aware of their sin, or because they think their lives might be less than holy, or because the church has even told them so. By appearing to shepherds, God shows his own willingness to appear to anyone who will listen. God came unexpectedly at night to those who were simply going about their daily occupations. The shepherds had not withdrawn from the world to seek holiness. They were simply going about their task, and God appeared. And too often we look for God in the beautiful and at the times and places that we decide that we're going to set out to seek God. But what's important to remember is that God seeks us. And think about the ways that you might have seen God moving unexpectedly, a moment that you were least expecting the holy that found the holy. Perhaps it's in creation as you experience it outdoors, or in a piece of music or poetry, or in someone's eyes. The shepherds were probably tired tending those sheep at night. And then unexpectedly, intrusively, God's messenger appeared. The angels terrified them. They had apparently not been waiting or praying for a message. Rather, God's message interrupted them right where they were in order to announce his work. God shows up, my friends, in the small and in the ordinary, in the ways in the midst of what we are doing. And at Christmas, the awe-inspiring and terrifying God, whom Moses had to veil his face to see, appears as an infant. In times like ours, when angels are celebrated as friendly and sentimental characters, it may be difficult to picture what powerful and unsettling creatures angels could actually be. But God whispers, don't be afraid. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. And this is the same call that Jesus will echo in his Gospels. Fear not. Finally, we have a blessing of peace, that God sends us peace. God doesn't desire huge festivals or frantic preparations, nor does he wish boundless energy to be able to do everything. Rather, God wishes us peace. And so, may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of Christ in this celebration of his birth this night and forevermore. Amen.